Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Happy to be here, out in the studio, cup of whiskey. How good are these mild nights?
I don't know, mate. I live in a house, so I don't really know what's going on the outside. I'm inside.
Look, it's getting balmy, and the daylight hours they're getting longer. The summer's around the corner. I'm getting hyped for a bit of warmer weather.
Yeah, 100%. Me too, for that, for sure. Definitely noticing way more light, which is very exciting. More light, the better. Bring it on.
Yep.
Good week.
Yeah, great week. Obviously, last week of school. Obviously, I've been back for a couple of weeks, and then I get to chill it for another couple of weeks off. And so that's good. And I'm just kind of finalizing some details around it now, but might be doing my first father-son camping trip over the school holidays. So getting pretty hyped for that.
That's awesome. Uno kid or dos kid?
Say that again.
One kid or two kids?
Nah, fucking one kid. One kid. The one that's not breastfed. Gotcha. He can come hang out with me. The other one might struggle.
Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe don't have the required equipment.
Yeah, not just yet. It's coming along. I don't know if they'll bring you milk, but you should see me. I'm bringing volume. Yeah.
Nice. I had a nice week myself as well. So went out on Friday night with a Dazzling and had a good time out into the city watching the footy.
Hawks got up as well.
They did. It was a large night. Let's just say that.
Yeah, good shit.
We went pretty hard, but good weekend. For some reason I thought Cobden was on Saturday, so I was like, well, I can't do anything on a Friday night. And then I was doing something for the tipping, and I was like, oh, that's on Sunday. I was like, my chances just went through the roof. fun night though, so that was good. But Cobden, no, we're not Cobden yet. We got other stuff. Clubhouse is back.
It is.
For those of you who've only been in the disc golf scene for about a year or two, you might not have even seen Parked Clubhouse. It's been a couple years, I think, since their last episode. But it's a couple familiar faces. The guys from Parked Media, and they do a bi-yearly episode, and where they just talk disc golf, a bit of shenanigans, and it's a good bit of fun. So yep. I'm keen for it to be back. And I saw
What would have triggered it? Like, there's nothing that's happened. Like, there's no been stellar performances from the boys that would like trigger like them needing to get behind the mic, has there?
I think there might be. There might be some professional disc golfers on that page, recent professionals.
Okay, and just making bank and becoming disc golf rich, all of a sudden they can afford their Wi-Fi bill again.
Ash was wearing a nice jacket. I saw in their little presser that they put out.
Yes.
So they teased a big name, but then didn't put it out there. So they sent it to us. Was that like, are we cool to roll with that? Like, is that you kind of send us shit and then we not go with it?
Yeah. So he said he will check and let us know if we can't run with it. And then I've heard nothing. I deliberately turned my phone off, but I've heard nothing. Okay. Have you heard anything?
Oh, mate, they don't talk to me. I don't know. What are we doing? They're coming out tomorrow night. How bad of a spoiler could it be? Most of our listeners won't listen till tomorrow night. But
and they're not going to get wind of it. Over in Europe, what was the little teaser he put on the video? I can't even remember.
Nothing. Just big name.
A big name.
That's why they had to be all fancy. But I think we're just going to run with it. And it's Esa Pekka Tupala.
Which... Good enough. I would have just said Esa Pekka. Most people will know him by Esa Pekka.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't. I know it. How do most people know him if they didn't recognize the name?
Just through watching Disc Golf Pro Tour during the European League.
Yeah, he's the commentator. Yeah. He's that good commentator who's like, oh, that's such a good shot. I like that guy. I think it's cool. Well, I'm very keen to hear what they have to say with him. So keen for, yeah, Clubhouse to be back. A bit of Maddie's Media Watch and some lamb shanks and whatever Ash does. And, yeah, should be good times.
Should be good times.
So check that out tomorrow night.
I'll be tuning in one way, shape, or form. Might be retrospectively, but get around it. I'm sure we're a Venn diagram of listeners. And I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of them. But like you said, if they've only been in the game for a couple of years, they used to run this biannually podcast, and it's worth checking out.
It seems like they used to do it all the time.
So. Yes.
Something else that used to happen all the time. You like the transition?
Yes, well done.
But doesn't anymore, it seems, is Kristen Latt playing disc golf.
Mm-hmm.
So she said she was taking a break, and then all of a sudden her name was withdrawn from the last few events. And I don't know, I just was like, I wasn't thinking panic stations here. People talking about her career over, like, what do you mean? She doesn't need to play these events. She's got cash, da da da. But she's not going to stop playing. She makes like a very good living doing this, and it's pretty easy for her normally. So I was like, she'll be fine. But she put out a post recently that seemed to very much seem like she's quitting. Right?
She is not touring. She is not committed to the tour in 2026. Now, she's leaving a few doors open, but I don't know. A few people are suggesting that those doors aren't really open. She's, stepping away from competitive disc golf.
That's crazy. I can't comprehend that. That's wild. How bad can the yips, like, they must be the craziest then. Like, she must just be really hating her time on a disc golf course to walk away from everything that she's got, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's obviously built a brand, and I imagine she's done due diligence, and I suspect that, like, her brand is probably pretty salvageable in Estonia, and she might lean into a bit more, you know, marketing, media, who knows, to keep, obviously, the finances running. She suggested in the post that she might obviously get involved with her husband running events. But, yeah, it's unheard of for, you know, someone at their prime, at the peak of their game, obviously. Oh, you know, all bar, you know, a couple of shy events. Like, she still is the best female disc golfer in the world.
Yeah, 100%. Before she couldn't putt anymore, which was like real, real recent. So it's just, she played, she won. This is essentially how it went, and she didn't. You were like, shit, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way more than Gannon.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Nuts. Hopefully it all works out. That's sad, though. I hope it cut. Like, that's, yeah. I thought we're entering like this new era where then maybe, you know, these girls are going to start catching up to her. But I don't know. If you don't have that front runner, maybe that the women's field slows down a bit. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. The field can't really afford to slow down, if we're honest.
No.
Look, is it a coincidence that Paige Pierce is popping off at the moment?
I'm sure. Imagine she just gets real good again.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty crazy. She's like, remember me, bitches? Let's go.
I mean,
events next year.
Yeah, I for sure think, like, parts of Paige's demise, like a significant part of Paige's demise is mental and due to Kristen's success. Yes, she's had injuries, and yes, there's other factors, but this is a factor.
Yeah.
And so her stepping away, you know, looking at the ons of the world, and the missies of the world, like, Missy used to just be her caddy. Like, come on. Like,
I know, right?
If I'm Paige, I've got to be licking my chops.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. She could step back into that role, that number one player in the world role.
Yeah.
Just, it's wild to think, but we'll see. I'll be very interested to see how the rest of the year and then next year really shakes out. All right, a bit more back on the local side. We had Cobden on the weekend, which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So I got out there on the Sunday, 2.5 hour drive. Wasn't that bad. Yeah, just did it on my solo dolo lonesome. And the course was really fun. So we had seen some of the photos and it was really nice. The property was beautiful. There was, you know, some pretty good elevation, nothing like crazy hills or whatever, but definitely like a lot of undulation and a lot of cool shots where you sort of throw over a valley, which is really cool. So being on, you know, a high point and throwing to another high point, sort of dip in the middle.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was a few like that. A couple unique holes, some, you know, a couple dinkers. Definitely very scoreable. So the wind being up in the first round, the wind was real bad in the first round, would have, well, I thought it would have curtailed the scoring, but the scores seemed to be about the same in the second round. And the wind was way, way down. So not sure what the go exactly what that was. But, yeah, most of the course was not sort of particularly long, a few tight lines and stuff. But I feel like it's one of those places where it's like if it was your local, you'd get really good at it and you'd shred the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But fun. Yeah, a lot of fun. I thought it was really well done. So well done to Wayno and the boys for, coming up with a really cool tourney, really cool course. And then, putting on a nice tourney. So everything was run really well.
Did you get a vibe for, like, the welcome committee, like, from the golf club? You get a vibe for, like, what the locals or the local club were making of it, or that it's kind of non-existent?
I didn't really interact with them too much, so I'm not sure. It was busy, so, like, there was a bar-restaurant combo sort of thing on site, and, you know, that was probably their typical Sunday lunch outing as families and stuff like that. And that was sort of pretty busy, but I didn't sit inside for any of that, so I didn't really get a vibe of that. So I'm not sure. You'd have to ask Wayno about that one.
Okay, cool.
But I can't imagine, if you've got a bunch of people that wouldn't normally be there, that's got to only be a good thing, I think, for, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not that quiet of a course, but I don't know, it was really nice. It played a lot like the Invalid style where it's sort of, off on the, not in the fairways, but like in the trees and sort of stuff between holes, and then finding pockets, that didn't have areas. And then a bit like Bendigo where it was just looked like it was out in areas of the course that never get used. It was really good. I quite liked it. And okay, cool. I'm glad it wasn't any more difficult, especially with the wind.
Yeah.
Because it just made for a really fun day, I think.
Sweet as.
But I'm surprised more people didn't go very low, to be honest. But we'll have a look at some of the scores. In the FJ15, it was a couple of familiar names now, Charlotte Davies and Miley Nicholson, but Charlotte smoked it. So very consistent in both rounds and gets it done quite handsomly.
And almost 100 rating points above her created rating. So look out, Charlotte, on the up and up.
Yeah, she's up and about. And then in MJ15, Marky was the only one in there. He had a really good first round. A plus two is quite a solid score for a young man on the rise. And then went significantly worse in the second round, but basically played at his current rating. So it's still a nice big boost for him with the huge round one. So should be good with there. But yeah, plus two round one is definitely nothing to sneeze at. I only had him by a couple. I played okay.
Yeah, there you go.
And in the FA4, it was Christine Goh getting it done by a few over Emily Ward, and then a lot back. It was Lacey Lewis. So nice little win there for Christine.
Yeah, some big numbers in there for that field, though. They are not the scores they were looking for.
No, I can't imagine so. Yeah, it was definitely there would have been definitely some attackable holes for those ladies, I'd imagine.
Yep.
MA4, what is that looking like?
So it would have been a nice drive home, because the Davies family have swept, their divisions. Where's Mama Davis? Is she on the scene? I feel like she needs to be throwing some frisbees.
Yeah. Maybe this is her time off. She's like, I don't want to be anywhere near this shit.
Ross takes it down by a couple of strokes over Granger Woolley and, Danny Luke. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not overly familiar with either the rest of that podium. Then you got, Daniel and Matthew Redman, taking out the above the prize line. Well done, Ross Davies.
Very well done. Granger's name pops up a fair bit, so I think he's around for sure.
Okay. Yep.
In the FA3, it was a pretty good battle, to be honest. But Marta got it done by a few strokes both rounds and ends up with a 10-stroke victory over Linda Nalon. So Marta just wins every FA3 event, I feel like. Every time she shows up, she takes down a W, which is good to see. And another person who seems to be doing that lately is Noah Barwick.
Yeah,
so this was the smoky.
Has he just gone from like MA4 Victor to MA3 Victor, like back weeks?
And I think he's signed up for next week for Oz This Day in Geelong in MA2. So
there he goes. This is acceleration at its finest.
He is a division of one at the moment, so he's literally going to go victory, victory, victory in three separate divisions.
That's huge.
But a plus one overall event is very good disc golf for someone new, a 921 rated event. Plus one the first round in the wind and then cleaned it up by a stroke in round two. He's a ultimate convert and I think he's going to be good. So 5 strokes ahead of Zach Schleffel in second place, who played almost 50 points above his rating just to get smoked by 5 shots. So it's a tough place to be sometimes, MA3. This reminds me, I need to get back onto that. I heard, sorry to just get just very distracted here, but who was, why can't I remember his name? Oh, our friend Reese Circuit. I overheard him talking about how MA4 is the hardest division to win. And I just had to stop. I just had to stop for a second. I think this was an invalid. But do we have this conversation already?
No, I don't think so.
It might have been an invalid. And I was just like, yeah, you know, Dylan shot like 11 down. Like, I don't think that. I think that might have been harder than whatever MA4 showed up with today. Like, I don't. And his point was more that because there's so many new players that get good very quickly, so many people come in and then like smack them and move on. And so I think he was going to try to put together something that was like the average winning rating.
Yeah, yeah, I get this. I see where this is going, yeah.
Average field rating and like how it would be much higher than any other division, which makes like a full-time MA4 person like – it's impossible for them to win. I'm like, all right, I get what you're saying, but I can't believe in it.
Yeah. I'd like, if he wants to nerd out on that, I'd actually be interested to see that. I reckon particularly at like, I don't know, I feel like there'd be more at play. Like you just have to go like A tiers or like our majors.
Yeah, yeah.
At our majors, like you'll have someone who like on their local scene has popped off, has probably already moved up to MA3, but their rating's not there yet. So Nationals rolls around. And they're like, I'm playing MA4. And like, yeah, they do. They play 120 rating points of like the average rating for the field. I'd be interested to see that stat.
Yeah, because you look at the rest of this podium. So Zach's plus 6, smoked by 5 strokes. But he is 7 ahead of third place. And Alex Ritchie played significantly above his rating. And Carlton Clerk played a little bit above his. So Zach's gone out there and just gone, that's it, boys. I'm fucking you up today. And then this new kid's just like, oh, did I win easy?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. But anyway, well done to Noah. I'm sure he'll probably be kicking my ass in MA1 in, I guess, the next tournament after that.
Probably.
Just go with an eruption, probably. MA2, what are we looking at with the MA2 boys?
Glenn Ralston gets it done from, he's like third place after round one with Mitch Evers with a nice plus two, Max Tats with a nice plus two. Estonia looking good early after round one, and you got Pakanti and Ralston three strokes back of that, but three strokes was not enough because Glenn just follows it up with a 9.16 plus one round. Pakanti also goes a lot nicer as well, and they do a bit of a flip-flop. Max and Mitch slide down, and Aaron and Glenn slide up, and Glenn takes the chocolates. But let's not let the winners of said event overshadow the main event of MA2. The main event is none other than TD Extraordinaire, coming in sixth place in a division of seven. That's right. You hear it here first. Wayne Govan has not come last in MA2.
Very good final round. Plus two. That's a good.
That's a great final round. 900 rated.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It is. So well done, Wayno. And yeah, great event too. Put it on very well. So I skipped out right after my round because it was late. We might get to that later, but and I had to roll. But I'm sure it all went really well after that. But yeah, well done for not last, Wayne. We actually mean it too. It's not with me, not even mean dicks.
No, I know. Of course we mean it. No, that's great. No, and it's a solid event. It's a great round. And I'm always, not everyone's with me on this, but I maintain as like the someone who's TD'd at least one event in my life. TDing and playing is like, it's hard work. Like, there is so much shit unfolding on disc golf day and, like, the lead up to, like, he's got to be gassed. Like, putting this event together in a place where he lives 3 hours away from.
Yeah.
Like, he had to have been gassed. And he's got a newborn at home. And he's played well. So, well done, Wayno.
For sure. In the MA50s, it was sort of looking a little familiar after round one, except Simon Farrar had a one-stroke lead over Mike van der Linden. And I guess Mike took that real personally. So round two just goes whack. One of the very few people who played who went under par at any stage. And goes minus three, if you don't mind. 9.52 rated. And, brings it into an absolute hiding. Beats Simon by nine strokes in that round. And, just kills it. So well done there, Mike. Huge effort. Dave just Haskin. Dave.
A casual 11 strokes better.
11 strokes better. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, the wind was down, but wasn't down that much.
Yeah.
So, huge performance by him.
Yeah, that's like such, that stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
That round two. Good stuff. MA40. This boy's unstoppable.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's just taking the mick, and it's a 10-stroke victory over and he's played below rating. Jesus Christ. It's 10-stroke victory below rating. Justin Clark is he's a sandbagger.
He's good at disc golf. He is.
Yeah. Why is he not playing MP4?
I don't know. He used to. I feel like he used to. Maybe I'm being crazy, but yeah, I feel like he used to.
And with that cash line, did he not have wind?
He was encouraged to play and opted to stay in MA40.
Jesus. Yeah. Had to take down none other than Ash Wiener to make a cool $150 and chose not to.
So, I don't know. Killed it. Killed it over Ryan Nicholson and Alexander Mayer. So well done there, JC. It's just gearing up for a nice eruption, I guess.
Mm.
And then in FA1, real tight battle.
Oh,
so Simone McKnight has the lead by two strokes over Kate Eldridge going into, after round one. and a little bit of a flip-flop action. A very nice performance by Kate, and a drop-off from Simone means that Kate gets the one-stroke victory. So that's a couple for the Gambia crew now.
Feel like I haven't seen Emma's name for a hot minute.
No, she has not been playing much, and her score would be reflective of such.
Correct.
Snagged a couple birdies in round two, though, so the only one in the field to get a couple birdies in round two, but she did some other stuff, so.
Well done. Well done, Kate Aldridge. That's a good get. What a battle. That's cool. Where are we at?
M-A-1, yeah.
Look, you couldn't have picked this. Like, you could write your own ticket at the bookies, right?
Yeah. Penn went in an overwhelming favorite when myself, I think, was the next highest rated player in the field, and I haven't beaten Penn in a year and a half or something. I don't know. So, the assumption was there.
How did it go down? How did it shake out?
I don't know. There was, like I said, it was very windy and there was plenty of birdies to be had, but we just, we seemed to be finding a lot of bogeys, except for Penn. Penn went clean in round one, neg seven, which was pretty fantastic. Like, it's all out there, but you still got to throw it and you still got to not make any stupid mistakes. So he goes neg seven, which was the hot score of the day in any division. Which is fantastic. 991 rated. And Seb Gutierrez went off as well. So neg four, couple bogeys in there, just absolutely way ahead of the rest of the field. I was even for six birdies to show for it and went even. So I don't know. It was looking like I'm the best player in the world. Started on hole five, which is a real little dinker, and stuffed it, missed a putt. Went 6-7, part eight, went 9. If you don't mind, I'm 3-under through 5. Definitely going to win the tournament easily. And then just make a dumb mistake in the wind with a disc choice that, ended up with an out of bounds, and then the recovery shot was a slip, and boom, we got a double bogey. Starts getting a bit sad there. Another bogey later, I'm back to even. All good. Three birdies in the next four holes. Back to neg three. And then, three bogeys in my last five holes. I'm like, fuck. So, I don't know. Just for myself, it was just a lot of, some poor decision-making and some poor execution. The putting wasn't great, but. Anyway, even round, not too bad. And then it was pretty thick after that. So only 1, 2, 3 strokes-ish separated almost everyone else. And in round two, Seb just went hot, just kept going. We started on hole three or something like that. So he was quickly caught up to Penn. I don't know, halfway through the round, I think, and then takes the lead on hole 15. Penn was getting plenty of birdies as well. But at this stage, Seb is, 3, 5, 6 down through 10-ish?
Yep.
12 must be. And then they just flip-flop as soon as he gets the lead. Like, he was, like, tie for a bit, and then as soon as he gets the lead, the very next hole he three-putted, and Penn hit a putt. So it flip-flopped, Penn birdies the next one, Penn birdies one a couple holes later. That's all she wrote. It was looking like a fairy tale, and then Penn lit it on fire. So another very good round. They both shot neg fives, which was fantastic. Penn just kept his three-stroke lead, and he did it under pressure.
The other Colombian wanted a piece round two as well.
Yeah, so one was up and about between rounds. He'd had +3, he'd had 4 birdies, but he just felt like he's like, nah, I'm here for this. I'm attacking. I'm doing this. I'm going. And then in round two, he just very quickly, because he started on hole 6, I think. So he went 4 birdies in his first 5 holes, but then takes a double, gets 4 birdies in the next 5 holes, and he's just looking out of control. I'm trying my hardest to keep up with him. He gets a couple bogeys late, but I did the same thing. So he ended up getting me about one, the prick.
Yeah, sick. Well done, Juan. Well done, Columbia. But obviously, bottom pen, handy at Frisbee.
Yeah, beat me by 12 strokes. It's pretty frustrating. And I played my righty. Birdied 8 different holes. I just hurt myself, shot myself in the foot.
Yep.
But yeah, big by pen. And then, the Colombians go 2 and 3. Whack, whack. In MP40, your boy Josh Smith's up and about, mate.
He is.
What's going on there? That's 2 really good rounds. And he shot better the first round than he did the second, which is crazy.
He might have started to tune in, you know, like I've been just sowing some seeds, and obviously he's been playing a bit more regularly, but like, yeah, look out. Like that's more the golf that, like, he's capable of much better. Obviously, he's now older and a dinosaur, but, you know, he's not a 9-10 golfer. Like, he is a 9-30, 9-40 golfer minimum. So, you know, no surprises from this, from me seeing him play a 9-50 event. I would expect more of that moving forward.
And then the other man to make cash in this event is first time pro Ash Wheatner.
Have you clicked on the cash line on the website?
I haven't.
Click on the cash line. Look what happens.
Oh, give me a sec. I gotta go back. I'm looking at the live.
Oh no,
this might take me a bit.
All right, I'll talk to you about it. But those playing along at home, if you're looking at the scorecards, it shows you the cash line. It shows you the cash line for every division. And I didn't actually realize until now it's actually a button. And if you click the cash line, it tells you what paid out above that line.
Oh, yeah. What are we looking at?
So Josh Smith took home a cool $233 for his hard work. And none other than Clubhouse, no coincidence that that's coming back this week, took home $140.
Sick. That's sick. Yeah, well done, Ash. And he took out the ace pot the other day. So Ash is like legit professional disc golfer now.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, I see it now. I was on it. I was on the live. I would try to go all the way back to the normal page, and then it wasn't there.
No. That's why you're confusing me.
I'm getting it. Yeah,
click
cool.
The cash line and it's all a button.
Right. Look at you showing off.
Yeah.
Nah, so well done there, Ash. Jace, not as fortunate, but Ash got it done. The two really good rounds. Plus two round one, even second round. 9-17 event, well above his rating. That's good golf.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That gets it done over Chris Hart, who's formidable.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the big dogs, how they shake out?
Look, most exciting thing about this division of six is that they only paid out the top two.
Yeah, 2 places in MP40 and 2 places in MPO. I'm sure that went down real good with Ryan Michelle.
I'm sure it went down real well with Ryan Michelle as well. But given that Ryan Michelle would have come third in MA1, I'm comfortable with it. I'm really comfortable with it.
True.
Just the two top dogs, without spoiling their name straight away, the winner takes home $600.
Damn.
And second place takes home $364. So just a good little payday for your guarantee.
Boom.
So what was the draw? You didn't go for a draw, did you?
No, I just had Paddy to beat Vilt. Which he did.
That's a shame. He didn't.
Oh, he did. I'm looking at Paddy Robertson, number one, and Marcus Vallotta, number two.
I'm just assuming that's a glitch, because I'm looking at minus 12, minus 12.
I'm seeing that one of the players got $608 and the other didn't. That's what I'm seeing if I'm hearing. Went down in a hole one playoff. And Paddy got it done. I was walking back from mine when it was going on, so I didn't really see it. But tight, that's 2 tournaments in a row where they finished the regulation with the same score.
Yeah.
So, which is pretty good because Paddy's one of the top handful of players in Australia. So, Vil's up and about.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah, no, they're solid events. Obviously, matching Penn's final score for some 980 events there. So good work to the boys. And then, yeah, just a little lighter on, particularly in round two for Michelle, Nathan and Aiden, just with the neg twos. With the wind being down, I think you had to eat round two and neg two's not eating.
No. No, yeah. Not at all. And, yeah, Ryan Hart, not he's just off. He said, you know, in passing, I was like, how you doing this round compared to the other? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, better, but it was sort of like – you know, I still suck sort of type of thing. And he reckons he just shakes. He's just nervous for every, like, 5 meter putt now. So hopefully he's just got a bit of the Chris and Lats about him. But hopefully he can sort that out and get back to being a weapon because, yeah, he was looking at a lot of greens. But once again, like, 20-plus C1X putts per round. You know, greens in regulation, shit tons. So he's got his chances. Round two, he had loads of birdies. He just took a few huge numbers. So hopefully he shakes it off. He'll be back out on the weekend at the Rollers Non-Invitational. So
yeah. I hope he can shake it. But yeah, round one makes for some tough reading. Like that, you know, given that he's a good putter from circle two, like, and I do this for a couple of players, like, sorry, can be a good putter from circle two. He's had 14 looks at birdie, round one for one conversion.
That's tough.
That is tough. And look, you might be coming up and you're not lights later, but yeah, there was a 5-putt from C1 in round one, and there was none other than a 7-putt.
That's unheard of.
From C1 in round two. So shenanigans.
Yeah, that's unheard of. I don't get that. He's got so much talent too. So whole 13 that he birdied in the first round. Short par four. He's like, I was in C2 for eagle. And he's like, I just need a birdie. So he laid that up. That was the only birdie he got. And he was C2 for eagle. I was like, Jesus Christ, Ryan, you throw so fucking far.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully he's a nice guy. So hopefully he sorts that out. But yeah, that was Cobden. So hopefully that becomes a bit of a thing.
Feature.
I really enjoyed it. A lot of fun. Just a nice little reprieve after playing Invalid as well. Just going out to somewhere new and that's actually fun was good. So yeah, well done to the crew.
Bang bang,
bang bang. Right when that was going on, there was some chumps out playing Bicentennial instead. I forgot to get Alex's one up. Have you got that going?
We can. I don't have Alex's up. No, you've got the metrics up. Yep, you just reminded me as you were saying it as well.
I think I've got it now too.
So do I.
Should be sweet. Well, where do you want to start?
Obviously, we'll start at the Div Z Did X. So because we have to start. We have to start at the non-members because Joel Way comes in with a, what is that, a neg two?
Mm-hmm.
Who is Joel Way?
I don't know. But he could throw frisbees.
Yeah. Just with the one bogey. So just a demolition. You got Noah Jones taking out the Div X. And you got some Beasley family situation going on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
With Sam Beasley and Lily Beasley. You don't know if they are husband, wife, brother, sister, unrelated, who knows?
Mm.
And none other than our mate, Quinn, rolling around again.
Good to see.
Good to see.
Great good to see you, Quinny. I like that.
Yep.
Quinn Stay Smith.
Yep. So that's huge. Look forward to seeing progression there. But, yeah, definitely curious around this Div Z under the card. It jumped off the screen at me.
Yeah. Neg 2 turned out to be a very good score that day.
So, yeah.
And Levi looks like he's got his old man and maybe his brother out because a couple of Nortons there as well.
Awesome. It's a family affair. You would know something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Div C.
Div C, we got Matt Gosney taken out by 3 strokes over Leif Jones, and then one back of that is Alistair Morley. So pretty nice score there for Matt Gosney, just the plus one, and yeah, some 3 good birdies, just 4 less good bogeys, but not many birdies were had on the day. He was the only one in, oh, I lied. Him and Simon McKay were the only people in Div C to get more than the single birdie. So well done there, Matt Gosney.
So obviously a week ago, Div B had a day out and absolutely dominated the handicap. We've got a situation here where Div B leaders are tying with the Div C leaders. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that Div B have maybe not had such a day out.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if we have a look at the handicaps, it's going to be a little flip-floppy from what it was last week. but, yeah, Mark Green, Wayne Hood, and Nick Tay all tied for plus one, which was, yeah, the same as Matt Gosney's score. And then Ilya couldn't do it for me last week, the prick, but pretty handy score on the weekend for plus two. Gets in there in fourth place. So, yeah, well done. But everyone else, a bit of a letdown.
Div A, look, it's not what I want to be saying, but Chris Scott and Ruben Berg take it out with -8. So no double digits. It feels a little light on. Brett Siebel in there, -7. And then the Gulf of Mexico until you get to Ryan Deere at -3. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I assume it had to have been very windy. It was very windy when we were playing. I can't imagine these scores being anything else than hectic winds. But, yeah, the Gulf of Mexico is good. There's a good one there, just a huge gap. Yeah. And yeah, Brett Siebel up there with the big dogs. So well done there, Brettie.
And no bogeys for Ryan Deere on his -3. Just 3 birdies. That's it. That'll Sick. Do for Bicentennial. Thank you very much.
I should update our Thrallers Guarantee board then. So that's a big fat 0 for you who took Dazza with 6 strokes worse than old mate Rubes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take the 4 for Paddy. Gets me up to 31. So only 2 behind you now on 33.
There we go.
Creeping in.
Yep.
Creeping in. But yeah, 2, 4, 6 players in Div A over par. That's a lot. That's a lot of numbers, I feel like. Way more than normal. I feel like it's normally like 1.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Disappointing. I'm disappointed with all you people.
Yes, exactly. Not angry, just disappointed. And when we look over at the handicap, you picked it, but Brett Siebel finds himself in the top 5. But that -8 from Chris Scott, given how light it was from the Div C, Div B players, Chris Scott podiums.
That's not hectic. Often.
Yeah, you don't see Div A players up the pointy end here very often. So, and for -8 at a 41, Jesus Christ, this is interesting. 41, I swear to God, would net you a friggin' 25th some league days on the handicap.
I know, right?
Like, how is 41 or how is 40 winning the handicap? That is unheard of.
I've just had a look at, I've just had a look at Melton.
Yeah.
And a 41 point something or?
Yeah.
41 point what?
0.9 or something like that.
What was your guess?
I said 400th, but what, 14th?
35th.
Jesus, 35th.
William Wong had a handicap net of 42 last week. Shit.
So what is a 40? What does a 40.4 get you at Melton?
40.42 was Ilya's round of he was 31st.
For 31st
in the handicap last week.
31st 1 week to first the next. It was, that was a shit day out at Bicentennial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. the handicap last week was taken out was 31.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad my spidey senses were on. Yeah. I thought that felt light on. Jesus.
So, yeah, well done. A tie, which happens all the time. Matt Gosney and Robert Higgins, both with a net handicap of 40.92. Because somehow Matt Gosney has a 15.08 and Robert Higgins has a 32.08. Like, how do these line up? This is fucking bullshit.
And they
bullshit.
Just happen to finish 17 shots apart. It's
fucking bullshit. anyway, that, Chris, like you said, Chris got Brett right up there, Ilya as well. And in the bottom, and Cooper Thompson, is just working on that free fall. Rob Hall, Bridget Alveston, Toby Beasley, and somehow Ryan Deere not the very, very bottom.
Yeah, and like, and Darren Staysmith somehow like not the very bottom, like those two. Like,
crazy.
There has been some shit disc golf at Bicentennial on the weekend. Jesus Christ. Exactly. It must have been windy.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. they're tipping... Rubes was a fair underdog, to be fair. Dazza was heavily tipped over Rubes, so your dollars guarantee was good, I guess, to be right on that. But
yeah,
Rubes killed him, so good for that. Narada was a slight favorite over Aldon, and I am certain Aldon's metrics rating is fake, but apparently it isn't. So Narada had him. And no one took the Tim Ware Peter Chu draw. That was a nice little spicy one, that. So no points for anyone there. Brett Zeeble, probably slight underdog to Glenn Maisie, but Brett gets the nod. Wayne Hood, fair favorite over Rob Hall, and for good reason, takes it out. Mark Green, pretty even with Levi, but Mark gets that victory there. Matt Mutter, decent favorite over Paul Baker, gets that done. And Daniel Santa Maria pulled out, so ruined the last one. Prick. No, on the do not tip list now.
Rough week for me. Just the lonesome two.
Stiff.
Yeah, not exactly what I'm looking for. A bit of a free fall on the leaderboard, back down to the bottom where I belong. But yeah, I just continue to be pretty shit.
It was a good week for me. I was happy with that. I'm slowly moving up.
Yeah, top 10.
I'm slowly moving up on this bitch, so that's not bad. But Matty Boy, Matt Finnegan stays out in front. The old man tipped the same as him this week, so Jeff's only three back, and then it drops off pretty rapidly after that. So I'm not even far away from a podium. I might have to start actually doing a bit of research.
Yeah, look out.
But coming along nicely. We got no social days this weekend, right? Because we've got Aussie Disc Golf Day.
Bring it on, Alan. I'm fucking hyped to throw these islands, bro.
I know. The winds are going to be up.
Are they?
Yeah.
Sick. From what I've heard. Exactly what I want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. I'm keen as well. I think it's going to be fun. We've had a lot of people drop in and out. Glenn Rolston pulled out for ratings preservation, which I'm trying to find a way to give him an 888 somehow. I want to do that, but I guess it doesn't work if you just pull out of the tournament. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that bad.
No, like, no, especially if the winds are up. I've got no idea. I'm trying to cook up a guaranteed something to do with ratings.
I hate that.
But yeah, I know. We've got no idea. Like, it got no idea. It's fun and games. It's fun and games.
Yeah. Should be good. Email went out to everyone. So if you haven't seen it, check your spam folder. I think I've already told people we're not doing division prizes, but we do have three very nice trophies. Anthony Pearsall has just outdone himself. I think this is my favorite trophies we've had. Integrates really well with the non-invitational and the Oz Disc Golf Day. So it's like a stand for a mini. The mini has the Oz Disc Day set up on it, and the stand is the image of, you know, us watching some chump throw onto an island. It's very good. Very, very good. And we've got the best overall score, the most mid, and the top chump. So
what are your boundaries for mid?
So mid is 900 to 939. And so sub 900, and then overall. And I was thinking about this today. I doubt this happens, but if it does, I'm standing by this.
Josh Smith taking both trophies.
So I'm not going to, I was like, someone can get two trophies, but now I'm thinking no. So let's say Josh Smith gets the best overall score.
Yep.
Well, then Dave Perry is getting most mid. I'm handing Dave Perry a trophy that says most mid. You can get fucked. Okay.
I
think that's more
that.
Insulting.
Yeah, good. I see what you're doing there.
And then the other way too, like if somehow a chump beats all the mids, they can be most mid, and whoever wins the mids can be the top chump.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm seeing it.
Good. No,
I can't
enough.
See it actually happening, but no if way. It does...
There is sure. Well, hang on. Like, where are your 930 plays? Yeah, surely there's no one 800 and something rated beating you.
I would hope.
I've just realised you've made a trophy for yourself.
Well, I hope so. But I mean, there's some.
Just because you said no one rated between 930 and 939.
Well, Kalen's above me.
Oh, Kalen's above you. Yeah,
Kalen's above me. Chris Hart's right there. Like,
Narada. Yeah, Kalen's 930. Yeah, sweet.
Narada typically better than me at, what's her name?
Bald Hill.
Brett Zeeble. Yep. Tommy Jankar throws a lot better. You know, I mean, I hope so, but it's not. I wouldn't be counting my chickens. Let's just say that.
fair enough.
But I was looking at a 950 barrier, and then I saw names like Penlu, Chris Scott, Chris Reynolds, and I was like, nah, it's 940.
Yeah,
fair enough. 940.
Fair enough.
And I was going to make it 2940, but I saw Nath Parrish's at 940, so that's why I made it 939. 940 officially makes you not mid.
Let me just share, like, I'm so hyped for this. Like, I'm almost like, I want to drive to Bald Hill now just like to play Bald Hill again.
Sick.
Now, the reason that's in my head is, let's just like, I've played, I'm going to give you the dates for my last three rounds at Bald Hill.
Oh, no.
All right. Cause like, you know, Bald Hill's the sort of park, like you were describing with Cobden, like you get your fingers in the pie and you kind of get it sussed, right?
Yeah.
And so like your Chris Scott's and your Pens who play Glow there and stuff, your Aidens, of course, they're going to get flying. First of all, off the bat, doesn't help me greatly. Last time I played there, 7th of Jan. what's a little bit more problematic is the time before that was the 26th of September.
Poofed.
And the time before that was the 13th of April.
Nah, it doesn't matter, mate. You're a gun. You're a gun. It doesn't matter.
2024. So... you're right. I am a gun and I'm probably going to win. So it's fun.
Excellent. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super keen. I'll get there Friday after work, put the flags and the string up. It should be good to go and good for anyone to practice on Friday evening as well. The CTB is going to be for each level, each bracket will have two CTBs, and for the mids and the top dogs, one of the CTBs is actually going to be a second shot CTB on the par fours where you need to land on the first island and then make the second island. And one person might do that in the mids. Like, it doesn't matter where they land, they might just win the CTB by virtue of being the only person to have done it.
Yeah.
So... could be interesting, but all 10 people could do it. Who knows?
I'm sure this is already on your radar. But a few things to take into account from our TD perspective, and we'll just take people behind the curtain here shortly. Mm. But from a TD perspective, we really need to be, and yes, I'm using the word we really need to be mindful of like miscounts. Not dodginess, but just genuine fucking miscounts. Particularly with people using the stats, like they're just going to have to be conscientious of like fucking taking their time to be like, right, where did I go? Where am I taking my next shot from? Where did I go? Where am I taking my next shot from? Et cetera, et cetera. But then even players who aren't, because obviously we don't want to Nathan Parrish this, because like obviously we know what happened to Nathan.
Yeah.
But then even players that are not taking their stats, I don't want to fucking hear none. If I hear one player say, I'm throwing three, I'm throwing five, fucking piss those shenanigans off. Count your throws, add your penalties, carry on.
There you go. Our brains work very different ways. That's so funny. Because I'm that way. I do it and I'm like, all right, one, drop two, throwing three.
That's the only time I've seen people miscount is when they try that
gotcha,
way.
Gotcha.
You just count your throws, add your penalties.
Yeah.
You never, like, there's going to be like, oh, Jesus, I touch wood, but I don't see many surpassing 10. Like, you know, we can all do 6+3.
Yeah, no one's scoring that high. It's not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be that bad. People are worried too. It's not like we're playing fucking Invalid out there. We're playing Bald Hill.
Yeah.
Whole 1 and 10 is still there.
Yeah. So it's just 2+2. Carry on.
Nah, sounds good. All right, yeah, I definitely will be running through, like, reminding people about what the fuck hazards mean and, yeah, what likely scores and stuff are. So, definitely.
Just as card mates, like, just be calling that shit. Like, it's no shenanigans. And even if you're, like, you're not sure, just like, oh, can we count that again? Fucking, yeah. If you're on my card, watch me. I'll be fucking firing bullets.
Sounds good. All right. So, we don't care about division winners, although the divisions are looking up. I'm looking pretty spicy.
Now, the NPO division is elite.
Oh, that is for sure. But I mean, like, all the others, because people are actually playing in their correct divisions, are looking pretty good.
We
can definitely do that. We'll look at the NPOs because we are, not just that. So who wins best overall score? Because you got those big NPO boys there, but you've also got Penn, Chris Scott, and yourself mixed in. Dazza in there.
David Perry. Dave of course. Perry? How are you going to go past David Perry? Who's getting second? I think it's a better question.
Who do you like?
Yeah, who's getting the second best score overall? That is a great question.
He is 40 ratings points higher than the next rated player.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, is it? You know, does Chris Scott, does Aiden? You know, it should be Aiden. I want to back in Aiden. It should be Aiden.
It should what be about Aiden. You? Sorry, I can't stop laughing at that. Dave Perry is to Ryan Deere what Ryan Deere is to me. Because that's how it's like, who's going to win? Well, am I going to beat Ryan Deere?
Are you?
No. So Dave Perry's going to win.
Yes, correct.
Shit. That's so bad. Ville's been up and about though. So, I can't back anyone besides Ville. He's been too good lately.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
He's been too good lately. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of good scores out there. So we shall see. And then most mid. I'm just going to say this now. I don't think Kalen plays Bald Hill that well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Don't come at me with facts, Kalen. But I feel like he doesn't typically play Bald Hill that well. So I think it could be Brett Zeeble's situation.
Yeah, that's who I'm looking at too.
I think he might be the most mid.
Yeah. It's just hard to go past the Glow Boys. There's just a premium on just like making the islands.
Yeah.
And for some of these people have played so many laps, they've got their bags so dialed to like, they might miss putts, but they're not taking penalties. Like, it's hard to go past the Glow train. So, yeah, Brett, but you got, Narada's right there. You know, Tim Ware is fucking pops off. Juan just popped off. Oh, obviously got yourself. The most mids are great field.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I'm really really looking forward to most mid. I think that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And then the chumps. The chumps. We've got fresh professional Ash Weidner. We've got barely making the chump list, Levi Norton.
Correct.
But yeah, Picanti, Max Tats, they were both up and about on the weekend as well. Marcus Davies as well, if he can make a few islands, would be in the mix for this, I'd imagine. Where are we looking?
It's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. I'm going to go with Picanti Beansies. Back-to-back solid events, has some distance, has smoothed out his game, going to give him some flowers. I'm going to back in Picanti Beans here.
I like it. Yeah, I don't think I can back a chump to win two events in a row. And I know Ash didn't win the last event, but he basically did.
Yeah, he basically did, yeah.
So I'll go with Mark Starts.
Yep.
I'm going Maxi Boy, just because I told you, if I tip Picanti, he'd be shit, and I don't want to do that to him. So, so I've got Maxi Tats, Brett Siebel, and then Ville to come second. That's my setup there. And we might even have Picanti, who's working on something for us. There might be some not light trophies.
Nice.
So don't play too shit. there might be a little special something else coming some people's way.
That's fine. I got to look out here. I could be particularly shit.
But no, I think it's been great. Hopefully the weather's not too shit, but I'm sure it'll be fine. It's never bad.
How good's Penn's observation about us fixing the division problem?
Yeah, he loves it.
when you look at this, it's like. Like, look at that MA1. I know it's only three players, but that's fucking phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that good? And, like, the MA2, like, no one rated below 900 in MA2. Yep. Like, what is going on?
I don't know. People actually play in the division they belong in.
we have worked some magic here.
Yeah. No, it's good. Cool. I just told people, I was like, well, we're trying to win some best overalls here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike on... yesterday, actually, picking up some of the prize discs and some more, because I hope you've got some. But
I've got five in the boot of my car, yeah.
Good deal. Five.
Is it? I think I've got five, yeah.
Oh, I hope it's more than that.
Oh.
Oh, no, you've only got four. Sorry, yeah, no, all good.
I was going to say, I don't think it's more than five. We're lucky.
But I guess someone had asked him, like, what does this type of tournament have to do with Oz Disc Day? And it confused me a little because... Like, is Oz Disc Day about getting new players to play? Like,
Oz Disc Day was born in COVID.
Yeah.
It's just a COVID thing. I don't think it's got anything to do with new players.
Nah, like, I thought this was just so people could play tournaments, like, and not have 1,000 people at one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but it was also, like, it was the year they didn't have nationals.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, well, let's just have Oz Disc Golf Day, and then it's just hung around.
So, like, I don't... Yeah, but that was sort of their implication. Like, what does a tournament like this have to do with Oz Disc Day, which is about getting new players to play? And I was like, in my head, I was like, well, it's not. I'd have to look at the ADG website to see if that's their new directive. But I'm like, it definitely wasn't born to that. But Mike's point was, well, there's overall winners, and we're trying to get as many of them as possible. So. The people are playing along. I love it. People are playing down to divisions they wouldn't normally play in, the divisions they belong in, myself included. And I love that Aiden hates it. Aiden hates it. He thinks it's trash. Like, he sees my name, Kalen's name in MA2, and he just thinks that's disgusting. And I was like, well, you should be at MA1 there, big dog.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. You just got me wondering, as I hopefully haven't muted you, but I was wondering, has the Aussie Disc Golf Facebook page featured me as a TD yet?
I hadn't seen it.
No.
I haven't seen it. I've seen Doug Adams. I haven't seen you.
Yeah, I might have gone a little too spicy with me survey responses. Mm,
we'll see. They haven't featured me either, but that's because I did not respond to them. But I'm hoping we'll see you.
No, I am too. I very much am too. But oh well.
They sent us out a couple of nice TD shirts.
Yeah, they did.
So I'll have to rock that for a little, at least a little bit. We'll probably have to wear Throller's gear on. Throller's gear,
of course.
But I'll bring it out for a photo or something, maybe.
Yes, yeah. I'll just walk around with it, like, pre-event and, like, tell people to go Ux Allen.
Sounds good.
Hey, TD, yeah, go Ux Allen.
Cool. All right, well, I think we just got to finish with a little spotlight, not light.
Oh, do we want to put some guarantees on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
of course we do.
Definitely.
Of course
I completely
do.
Forgot about that. Oh, well, you sound like you've got some spice. What
yeah,
are you...
so I wanted you to set me a line.
I don't want to do that.
I know you don't, but I wanted you to just, like, shoot in the dark, like, what will the highest rated event be? So not highest rated round.
Fuck me. Oh, that's even worse. The highest rated event.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, I think they're going to be dumb high if someone plays really good. But I just can't. What was Dylan's that one time? I want it to be higher than that, but I don't know if it can be. What was Dylan's?
I don't know.
Yeah,
was it 9938 or something?
Yeah, sure. 938.
No, I think it was like it was in the night, like it was at least in the 930s because Daz had something in the 930s and then.
What did you talk about? 1030s?
Oh, sorry, 1030s, my bad. Yeah, sorry, 1030s.
I don't know. I think they'll. Fucking hell. I'm trying to figure out a way to do this.
He had a 1080 rated round one time. Dylan had a 1080 rated round one time at Bald Hill.
I'm hoping it's going to be higher than that. I just don't know if it's possible.
Well, this is what we created the event for.
Yeah.
Like, for someone to shoot an 1100 rated round at Bald Hill. How the fuck did 1080 happen at Bald Hill? What the hell?
That was a 13 hole setup. It was wild. Realistically, I think like a 1040, yes or no line, like, will it happen? I'd give you 5 for that. Either way.
Yeah. For an event, not a round, yeah?
Oh, nah. because it could swing so hard. I mean, for a round.
Oh, for a round.
Yeah.
1040, yes or no for a round. Okay.
And I honestly am hoping it will be higher than the 1080 one. And I think there's possibility for it, but I don't know enough. You know what I mean?
No, of course not. No, it's a shoot in the dark. I don't know why I'm asking for it to guarantee. Like, you could have said 1020, I would have and an R. Now you're saying 1040, and I'm still and an R. Yeah. I'm like, I don't fucking know. Will 1040 rated round happen?
Just one round.
Possibly. Possibly. Jesus. If it was like an event, I'd be like, no, that's not going to happen for the event. But for a round, I'm going to back us in. We've created this with the purpose of creating an 1100 rated round. I'm taking the overs. I think 1040 plus. 1040 or above. You said 1040.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm taking the 1040 or above.
1040 or above.
For a round, yes. I'm saying it's going to happen.
I mean, it just straight up could. Like, it could get smashed.
I think it will. Think it will.
Yeah. All right, that's fine. Yep. What do you give me, Penn versus Chris Scott?
Yeah, brutal. Brutal. Penn versus Chris Scott. Chris has had the number on him. Chris didn't play Cobden. Chris's home track. But Penn is good. I have to. You know what? It's been too long on this podcast that we've been giving Penn all of this kudos. Penn goes into that matchup as a 6. Chris Scott is favorite.
That's crazy. It's crazy because I wanted you to go the other way and I was going to take Chris Scott for 6.
No, it's not that.
I don't want to take
Scott's
him
for 4.
I don't want to take him for 4. I don't like that. Nah, all right, shit. I just like him there a lot.
No, you should. That's why he's a four.
All right. What? Brett Zeeble versus Kalen.
Yeah, brutal. Brett just popped, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's his backyard. Kalen just has his measure on the ratings front. And he throws some beefy discs. So if the wind is up, it has to play in Kalen's favor. Kalen's. I know you're gonna take it, but I have to do it. Kalen's a three.
Kalen's a three.
Yeah.
Fuck. What do you know? I'm gonna take.
Brett's a seven. Yeah, Brett's a seven. I thought you might jump at that.
I did pick him. Yeah. Fuck it. Do I like that better than what we just had? Oh, I got Brett over Kalen for seven, or I could have. Chris got Penn.
You can have Penn for six. To be honest, Penn at six is probably better.
I know. When is he ever at six? But Chris Scott's been kicking his ass lately.
Yeah, that's just true.
We're
good at this game. I hope people hate this segment. I know. I fucking love this segment.
Honestly, we never get feedback about it. So people might not have any interest.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go Brett.
Yep.
I'm going to go Brett for seven.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
Mostly just because I hope it pisses Kalen off.
Feedback. We need to just you reminded me. Just the feedback came in thick and fast for the Stairmaster.
I can't remember.
The MA50 King of the Hill.
Yep.
And Alex's drive-bys on Ashwina just lit it up. People were just like in stitches. And so just, yeah, needed to shout that out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was good. That was very good by Ash.
Yeah.
Even Jace Wiener was like, I listened to that one back a couple times. Nice. All right. Spotlight, not light.
Yes.
I've got one of each. This one, I think it came across my desk maybe the other week and I forgot to write it down, but whatever Leo Dykes is doing on his socials, I don't know what it is. So I can't, it's not like I can say it. It's videos. But they're weird as shit. But they're pretty funny. So, go to his socials. I don't know what his handle is. Or whatever, but go find him on Instagram, and then is it just on his? You just look at videos on his page. Is that what it is?
Yeah. He got tagged. That was even like that was one he was tagged in. Okay. You just go look at his wall. But he's also got a historic dormant, maybe potentially YouTube channel out there as well. Where there's some lols to be had.
Yeah, look into it. It's weird as shit, but it's funny.
It is funny.
You?
Spotlights. I'm empty handed. I'm gonna go with the tour. We didn't talk about it, but the release tour for the Pro Tour next year. And a couple of new events, including down in Matty O territory. And a couple of other events popping back off and the introduction of a little Jomeg section as well, which will be interesting to see what that transpires to be. But yeah, as much as tipping on the FPO side, it's going to be hard next year without Kristen, looking like there's going to be a pretty cool events happening.
Mm. No, sounds good. Keen.
Yep.
Keen for that. My not light, and he's got a bit of praise in this pod. We don't really like to do too much of that without a little clip on the back end, but my not like goes to Wayne Govan.
Yes.
And yeah, like I said, did a great job with the TDing and the course and the whole shebang. But the pub was very busy and the meals were going out slow. So there was 1,000 people lined up and I was in that line for a bit and I was like, well, I won't get my food before lunch. So I will leave. And I went down the street to the servo and grabbed something from there. There was 50 people behind me that decided they'll be fine. They'll get their food. And, of course, it took forever. So many people. So Wayne pushed back the start time by 30 minutes. I hate that. Yeah, like, you need to make informed decisions on your lunch. We talked about this with Melbourne Celebrates and gave Caitlin a clip for that. And it's come up again. I don't like it. You set the lunch time and that's it. Then you set the start time and that's it. Move on. People need to figure their own shit out. So not like us to Wayne making me get home fucking late, real late.
Yeah. Nah, well done. Thank you. Thank you for sharing the nitty gritty. That's a good not light. That's well earned, well spotted. I'm not just going to try to make one up. I got none.
Okay, I've got none.
Just everyone, Bicentennial. Everyone who played Bicentennial, be better.
Fair.
That was shit.
Fair. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.